Hi, you guys. Sorry, I just had to make the microphone come over a little bit closer. How are you doing? I hope you all had a good week. It's nice to see you again. And for anybody that doesn't know or just stumbling across this show for the first time, this is kind of a short news review show looking at some of the major events that happened during the week and what the implication and relevance of those things are for what's happening in the world and for our individual lives in it. We broadcast this from the U.S., but we talk about other parts of the world as well. The U.S. happens to be in the focus a lot right now because there are many reasons that the global rulers are operating at a higher level than the elected leaders want to destroy the U.S. as fast as possible, and they're really working on that and doing a pretty good job. And it affects everywhere on the planet, and so does everywhere else. I mean, we're all so intimately tied together. It's unfortunate that we're taught that everybody has to be fighting all the time, because we've really got common interests, and the people of most countries are really not the problem. It's a small group of rulers that have infiltrated the whole thing. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But in any case, for this week, since this is a short review and we need to use the time well, one of the big events, of course, in the U.S. that some of the people have been telling me from other countries that they've been seeing it there too is the testimony of this guy, Michael Cohen, an ex-lawyer of the president. I almost said his name. I'm really trying not to get banned right away, if possible. So I'll say the president. And he's been trying to do a great job of smearing the president to justify getting a very light sentence for his own considerable crimes, Michael Cohen. And he did a pretty good job. You can see the coverage on the news station I often refer to that I can't mention clearly because I get banned for that too. The first half of it is the first part of the word information, just the first two syllables of that, and then wars, and then .com, and you'll get that. That's the best comprehensive news service that I know of so far. So you can see a complete coverage of the Michael Cohen testimony on that if you want to. But he did a good job. He said everything bad about the president that he possibly could. And fortunately, so that it wouldn't just come across as totally misinformation, this other representative, Jim Jordan, who's actually trying to be honest, pointed out that Michael Cohen has no credibility at all. In fact, he's already been not just accused, but convicted of lying to Congress. And it's also really interesting on that news station I mentioned, they showed him on video not too long ago, giving exhaustive praise of the president and how great it was to work for him, and which he's done for 10 years. He wasn't too unhappy with that. And so he was just saying, this is a wonderful person to work for and all that stuff. And now, since it's a question of, okay, either say something terrible about the president or have a very long, very unpleasant prison term, he said, wait, let me think. Okay, I'll lie. And that's what he was doing. And the Democrats, of course, completely supported that and didn't want to look at any negative things about his credibility at all. And the top level, of course, controllers in the party get no sense at all and just continue to be operating as normal, like Hillary and Obama and people like that. And in fact, the current president promised to put those people in jail, and he hasn't followed through on that at all so far. Whereas people that support the president openly and say, no, we won't make up anything bad about him no matter what, even to reduce our own attack by the authorities, one of whom is Roger Stone, that the media is attacking 24 hours a day and making into this other monster without saying anything credible that he did wrong. He hasn't been convicted of anything at all, but he's unwilling to lie about the president. So now the corrupt judge that is trying to convict him of anything, something, has said, okay, because you're such a terrible person and you're such a danger to society, you have to be gagged. You can't talk about any of this at all, or else you're going to go to prison for breaking that order. And as a result, even if they bring up ridiculous false charges against him, which is what they're doing, Russian collusion and that kind of nonsense, he can't defend himself in the public, and he can't easily raise money for his defense, so they can destroy him just for money. And that's the difference between the treatment of the people who will lie against the president and those who won't. And at the moment, jumping onto that hate Trump campaign, hate the president campaign, I should say, pays really well. And it gets you out of jail time and all kinds of things. So, and the whole major mainstream media is supporting the same thing. So why, you know, there are serious mistakes that the president has made, big holes in his awareness, and is far from ideal. But with all that, why is this the most coordinated American media attack against any president in history? Why? And I think the reason, the simple reason, is because his motive is good. Just like John Kennedy's motive was good when he was trying to stop the war machine and stop the crimes of the Federal Reserve, and you know, it was issuing United States notes that didn't go through the Federal Reserve and were backed by silver, and there were other things that he was going to expose too. And just before that, they decided they had to kill him, and that was a number of people within the power structure. Johnson was heavily involved, and a number of others. So the reason they had to kill him was because he wanted to actually help his country. You remember that thing that he said in his famous speech? Maybe you guys weren't old enough, but I remember him giving it. And he said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, like everybody wants to do now. Ask what you can do for your country to make it a great place," just like the current president is trying to do. And he couldn't be allowed to live with that kind of an attitude. That's exactly the same thing as they're doing to the current president. And it, as you can see, Kennedy was a Democrat, this one is a Republican, and both parties are totally corrupt and evil. And so it doesn't matter what party they're in. It matters if they're in there and actually trying to do some good for the country, which is very rare, and at least certainly is in recent history. So I think that's the reason they want to get rid of him. But to look at the whole picture, the current president has made some really serious mistakes, even with good motives, and those do endanger America and the whole world. So just as a few examples of those, one of his worst mistakes, I think, is caving in to the pressure of corrupt advisors who are mostly against him, and to the media, which is 100% against him for reasons we just said, falling for this need, apparent need, to treat Russia very badly. It's been a disaster, and is now risking the same nuclear war because of his ridiculously bad treatment of Russia as the two 2016 candidates, except for him, all wanted to get into that war. For example, Hillary was saying, when the president gives the order, then nuclear missiles have to be fired, really emphasizing that. And she was saying, in Syria, a country where the U.S. is illegally, was never invited by the Syrian government. They only invited Russia to help get rid of ISIS, not the U.S. And she was saying that she would declare a no-fly zone over Syria and shoot down Russian jets. This is not just stupid. This is totally evil, wanting to destroy the world with nuclear war. That was her motive. And other 2016 candidates were kind of like that too, even the Republicans. And the current president was not. He was the only anti-war candidate. But when he got in and he got elected, partly on the promise to get along with Russia and other countries and do mutually beneficial arrangements with all of them. As soon as he got in, he had these terrible advisors around him, many of which he still has, and they were saying, be tough on Russia, because otherwise the media and the people will say it proves Russian collusion. Completely ridiculous advice. probably intentional on the part of the advisors who were not working for the president. They were working for either the Obama team or the general global ruler team. And the current president fell for it and moved missiles and troops in close to Russia and did other things, sanctions with trade and finance, and continued over from what Obama had started in 2014, supposedly as retaliation for Russia invading Crimea. But you see, Crimea had been part of Russia for hundreds of years, longer than the U.S. has existed. And that was a strategic asset, and most of the people there were Russian, and they didn't want to be separated from Russia. So it was just Russia holding on to a little bit of the Ukraine when the U.S. and Soros and other nefarious interests had organized the overthrow of the legitimate government there, putting in basically a Nazi government. The media forgets to go over the details of that. So that kind of belligerence toward Russia encourages Russian dependence on China for finance, and makes a closer alliance between Russia and China, just because Russia needs the money, and the sanctions make it harder to make their energy sector, which is the biggest part of their economy, successful. It was a terrible policy for the current president to do, huge mistake, and his advisors, as I said, were telling him, look, Russian collusion is going to be obvious if you're nice to Russia. And that's just totally insane. And it should be so obvious that that's a terrible policy, but apparently it wasn't. But when he was running for president, Russia was offering a friendly cooperation with America. And when he won, apparently they were relieved that the other war hawk candidates didn't win. Hillary wasn't the only one. And that had nothing to do with any kind of Russian collusion, just common sense and a desire for survival, which is kind of normal. And that alliance with Russia, if it were accepted, could have helped world peace a lot, would have helped contain aggression on China's part and encourage better behavior of the Chinese government, could have led to prosperity all around, win-win situation. And so the real rulers, high above the level of elected officials, they had to stop that at any price. And at the same time, they wanted to cover up their own massive Russian collusion crimes with negative elements of the Russian government for selling off U.S. uranium assets and things like that. They wanted to switch the focus and ensure enmity between the two countries would get worse, and that war would just be more and more likely, and that real Russian collusion criminals would stay free and in control. So that was a big mistake on the president's part, and I wish good information would get through the ring of his advisors to him right away, because there's still a chance to avoid the disaster of conflict with Russia, where that could lead. Another huge mistake of the current president, I'm telling you these just to let you know, it's not, we have to look at it more deeply with more perception than just saying, oh, the president's a monster, which is what the nonsense that the media is pushing and the Democrats for their own agendas of destroying the country. Or the people who say he's great, he's playing 85-dimensional chess or, you know, something like that. No, it's not all good or all bad. His motive, like Kennedy, is great from what I can tell, but he's making huge mistakes. None of them are the ones the media says. You know, it's none of that is true. However, the illegal presence in Syria, which he's now finally said that he wants to end, which is what he promised in the campaign, and the media and the Republicans and the Democrats are all attacking him for that. So I don't know if it's going to work, but it's been an ongoing war crime to be in Syria, U.S. military uninvited, and demonizing Assad. It's his country. I mean, he's the representative of that country. And shooting missiles into Syria for that fake chemical attack, which turned out to be completely staged, not even well staged, and some of the kids and parents of the kids who were supposed to be killed in the chemical attack were on TV later laughing about it. And the kids were saying they dumped water on us and gave us candy bars, and it was really fun. And in response to that fake chemical attack, under the current president, under tremendous pressure from military advisors and the media, shot missiles from an offshore ship into Syria. That's a war crime and totally unconscionable. And now there's an article this morning from Zero Hedge talking about how the U.S. military is still making deals with ISIS in exchange for letting their leaders go back and plan more terror attacks. They recently finally got a hold of 50 tons of gold, according to the Zero Hedge story, that was stolen from Iraq by ISIS. And of course, if that's true, that it was stolen from Iraq, of course, it has to be given back to Iraq, you know, if they get a hold of it. But according to the Zero Hedge article, the U.S. military just took it and in exchange released ISIS leaders to run back into Turkey and other places like that to get their continuing religious jihad terror attacks going again. And if that's true, it's really an extreme war crime ongoing and cooperating with ISIS. But even being there at all, the U.S. military can't legally be there unless they're invited by the government of Syria, which they were not. Russia was, but not the U.S. And the Russian and Syria media have been claiming U.S. has been cooperating with ISIS all along, even after the current president took office, releasing leaders to try to get money and stuff like that. Doesn't sound very good. But the U.S. was arming and helping ISIS under Obama, giving them weapons. And Obama was a devoted member of the same religion as ISIS, by the way, and he had a ring he used for a wedding ring, confirming that fact, which the media kind of forgot to mention. And but it looks like some cooperation continues even under the new president, or maybe in spite of him, if it's just you know, insubordination and not following his own orders, because he said he wanted to get out of Syria, which would be the obvious thing to do. Russia's there and was mostly responsible for destroying ISIS. And ISIS is not radical religious terrorists. I won't mention the religion. I think you know what I'm talking about. You can get banned off major social media right away for mentioning that at all. It's called hate facts. It's a new category of language they've come up with. Bill Warner's talked about it a lot. They're not extreme members of that religion. They're fundamentalists. I've read all three scriptures of that religion, and it says you have to take over other countries and spread your religion all over the world and make sure everybody else is dead or enslaved, and that makes God really happy with you. That's exactly what ISIS and groups like that are doing. Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda and things, they're just following the scriptures that they think come from God. They're not extreme radical religious terrorists. That's wrong. I disagree with the president on that. But the U.S., regardless, no matter how bad ISIS is, was not invited and is in Syria illegally. But Trump didn't have to. President, sorry, I'm not very good at not saying the keywords. I hope we're here for a while. But anyway, he's not very good at resisting hoaxes like with Russia. He could have gone direct to the people on television, bypass the criminal media that dominates the U.S. television and major newspapers, and defuse the whole thing. And he still could. And it's a lot of great people, Alex and others, have been recommending that he just go on TV direct to the people once or twice a week, probably twice, and explain everything that's going on, what he's trying to do, who's resisting him, what his own cabinet members are doing, what the traitors within the government are doing to stop him. He could still do that. And if he was, you know, really following a good plan, that would be part of what he would do. So, but, you know, I don't know whether the continuing war crimes in the Middle East and being in Syria and Afghanistan and everything are really his doing or just total insubordination and mutiny, which is very possible. He ran openly as an anti-war candidate and for that was attacked from all sides. Both parties were against him. In fact, Republicans tried to get it so he couldn't be the nominee of the Republican Party. They're not his real allies for the most part. And recently he announced that, okay, we're leaving Syria and the U.S. is getting out of Afghanistan. And even the Republicans were censuring him in, I think it was in the Senate, for being so brazen as to say he was going to stop illegal wars. So I think he still wants to do that. And the fact that the U.S. is still there may not reflect what he's given orders to do. The criminal corruption is very deep in all respects, but allegations against the president that he's a racist, that he's a homophobe, a xenophobe, that he's unstable, incompetent, just there for greed, which is a really stupid idea. He's not profiting financially by being president. Anyway, all those things are being said by the media. The Democrats, they're 100% false and 100% malicious just to mislead the American people and everybody else so that we can be prepared when they either have him killed or removed or both. Anyway, his real faults, he has quite a few, but none of them are the ones that are on the media. He's still the most hated president by mainstream media in U.S. history, which confirms that his intent is good and he's a threat to global rulers. He would never be attacked by the entire media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, NPR, you know, all the major TV stations, unless he had something really good and he really did want to help the country, which I think is the case. So, one of his real failings is that he's hired a lot of enemies to be his, not only advisors, but to fill important positions in all kinds of parts of the government. And those, some of those people are running government agencies. I think he's got too much trust of conventional credentials and believes in military leaders or, you know, high up generals as being great people, which is occasionally true, but a lot of times it's not. And people within the business community, if they're rich and successful, then it means they're trustable too. And he's gone along with terrible advice on so many different ways. Even on the emergency declaration recently to build the wall, which is obviously needed. And any country that doesn't put a sufficient barrier on its border to stop illegal invasion and people coming in without checking who they are or anything like that, going through a legal application process, if the country doesn't put a workable barrier there with enough manpower to enforce it, that's not a country anymore. And which is exactly why it's been happening in America, because there are strong forces that have been called deep state or global rulers or New World Order, any of those titles, that want to destroy the fabric of society in America as fast as possible, destroy the economy as fast as possible. They're working in harmony with the so-called Federal Reserve, which is not federal, and it's mostly foreign-owned private organization. And when they raise interest rates over and over and over again, it makes it virtually impossible for any economic recovery to really happen. They didn't do that at all during the Obama administration, but they've done it at least seven times in a row during the current president's time. And it stopped the massive explosion in values in the stock market. And it hasn't managed to stop the record low unemployment for all the groups in America, and some really good things, high new job counts and employment rates being as high as they've ever been. But it really slowed it down compared to how it could have been. Anyway, what I was starting to say is that the wall is absolutely needed, not just a wall, but adequate manpower and technology to go with it. And every day that that waits is very bad for the country. And the advisors gave the president very bad advice to do it through a declaration of emergency, which could be challenged in courts, even though there's no basis for really challenging it. But what should have happened, since the president in America is the commander-in-chief and can order the military to do whatever is needed, especially in pursuance of the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution explains that one of the president's absolute responsibilities, not just that he's able to do it, but he has to do it, is complete defending of the border against any illegal inflow of people, any invasions, which that really is, any immigration that's not legal immigration, any of that. The president has a responsibility to prevent and to stop if it's happening. He didn't have to ask for a declaration of emergency. He didn't have to ask Congress for anything. He just had to put military assets on the border to start building the wall. And that's actually been done in places like Syria and Iraq, where the U.S. is not even allowed to have a presence. And they don't ask Congress if they can build a new air base there. They just do it, and it's not even legal. On the border of the U.S., it's not just legal, it's required. So that was terrible advice. I agree with Stuart Rhodes on that from oathkeepers.org. You might want to take a look at that site. Really good organization. But it's not just the border and the bad strategy for keeping invasions out of the country, which are going on every day right now and overwhelming the Border Patrol. And, of course, supported by the Democrats who, for example, in California, are inviting illegal aliens to come in and declaring themselves a sanctuary state so that even violent crimes by illegal aliens tend to just be overlooked. It's a really bad situation. I mean, that's another failing of the president. He should be considering that an insurrection within California, placing the governor and the mayors of sanctuary cities under arrest, in my opinion. It's completely ridiculous. I mean, the idea that if somebody's in the state illegally, that they shouldn't be arrested for violent crimes or shouldn't be convicted of them or should just be let go, that's intentionally malicious insanity. And the president is responsible to guarantee each state what's called a Republican form of government, not a democracy, by the way. And democracy is nowhere in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or anything like that. It's a complete misunderstanding that the U.S. is a democracy. It's something the founders never wanted it to have. In a democracy, as you may or may not know, minorities have no protection at all. If you're a minority, even a minority of any number, less than 50%, the majority can vote to do anything to your group that they want, and that's a democracy, ruled by the majority. But in a republic, if the Constitution is written the right way and it protects individual freedoms overall, then even if you're a minority of one person, you can't ever be taken advantage of or treated contrary to the Constitution legally. But the president's got huge blind spots. I mean, one of them is toxic industries. Somebody sent me a video this week and say, oh, the president is a terrible person. He's a Zionist. And a Zionist, I mean, yeah, the president's accused of working for Israel, working for China, working for the Catholics, the Vatican, working for who knows what. I mean, every group you can imagine. But all that's nonsense, in my opinion. The thing that matters is what is his awareness, his motive, and what blind spots does he have? And his motive, I think, is obviously good. People criticize him and say he's in there for profit and his own gain and his own ego trip. And that's so stupid. I mean, he's lost huge amounts of money, subjected himself and his family to constant death threats, slander 24 hours a day by all the criminal media. Terrible stuff. It's not profit. It's not, hasn't been fun, but there are legitimate shortcomings. And one of them has to do with the fact that he brings in toxic industries and only looks at the fact that they're good for the economy and for jobs. And I remember early on in the presidency, he was saying, well, we're going to bring in this Japanese company that's tremendous and it's going to create, you know, thousands of new jobs. It's all about the latest technology for the Internet of Things. He appears to have no understanding of Agenda 21 at all. And, you know, they need America and the whole world, every country needs people in positions of power that have a comprehensive understanding of how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together. If you have a president who's not aware of Agenda 21, that's not a good situation. I mean, I think that originated in 1994. People were calling it a conspiracy theory for a long time, and especially the news media, as the president says, is an enemy of the people, the corrupt news media anyway. And they were saying, oh, Agenda 21 doesn't exist. And I talked to people at meetings and events and things that said Agenda 21 doesn't exist. Now they say, okay, well, yeah, it exists. And we changed it to Agenda 2030 so that a lot of the goals that were set for 2050 are now set for 2030. And it's a massive operation. It's got all kinds of different elements to it, but one of them is technologies like the Internet of Things. If you want to see a very good explanation of what Agenda 21 is really about, I recommend watching a video on still free on YouTube. I guess they figured most people won't understand it, and so they leave it up there. But it's called Behind the Green Mask, and it's by a lady named Rosa Corey, spelled K-O-I-R-E. And it's a really good overview of what Agenda 21 actually is. And I don't think the current president in America has the slightest idea of what it is, unfortunately. And he needs to. Because the Internet of Things is basically, well, first stepping back for a second before that, Rosa Corey explains that Agenda 21 involves the inventory and control of every living and non-living item on the planet. For that, you need supercomputers to keep track of them, which they now have, quantum D-wave computers and things like that. And they also need a transmitting device to put on every item, like you buy clothes in the store or any kind of other item you buy, or they're even putting radio frequency devices inside pills that you take in medicine to report whether you've taken the medicine or whether somebody needs to visit your house and make sure you take it. Internet of Things is completely nefarious. It's a terrible idea. The current president's completely supporting it. Presidents of most other countries and prime ministers are doing the same thing. I don't think he has any understanding of why that's a threat. There's also the understanding that he's missing on medical drugs, most of which are toxic and damaging. Some of them will cover up symptoms for a while, but because there's no understanding of how the body works, and you just say, what toxic chemicals with really bad side effects can we call medicine? And they're killing probably a million or more Americans a year and ruining the lives of most of the others with dependence on multiple interacting toxic drugs, especially as people get older and older, and the effects of modern medicine and processed food and things like that start to take their toll, then the doctors give them more and more of these toxic chemicals to eat and say that they're medicine. Extremely damaging, and there is an alternative that works a lot better that I don't think the president knows about at all. Same thing with pesticides. Ever since Rachel Carson, there have been groups, environmental groups, complaining about the damage caused by pesticides in the environment. And Rachel Carson was right. A lot of the people who identify themselves as conservatives think that she was crazy and overstated and just, you know, getting fanatical, and they're wrong. That the saturation of the whole ecosystem with pesticides is planetary suicide, and if anything, her explanation of it was understated. I don't think the president has any idea about that. I think he has great respect for modern chemical agriculture and pesticides and probably even GMOs, the biotech industry. Big mistake, you know, and a lot of it, I think the blame falls on the American education system, which is so specialized, and it teaches people to be experts, super experts in these little tiny fields with kind of a tunnel vision effect. And those people, if they have that specialized, narrow education, they're just perfectly set up to become tools of the power structure to be used for destruction. And that's happening everywhere, thanks to education and the corrupt media and all that. And another area that I have to mention, this one more, is the whole planned 5G telecom rollout that is a frequency that interferes with vital life processes. And I don't think the president has any idea. I mean, Alex has explained on his show more and more how 5G and 4G and 3G and 2G and 1G, they're all destructive, and it goes right with what Barry Troer said on our show many times, that in his position he was aware that the microwave frequencies were already engineered to control thoughts and emotions and destroy health. And now we've got another, you know, 60 or 70 years of development, and they're much more sophisticated, and I think they're being used every day. Another thing, another shortcoming of the president, just to show that I'm not, you know, 100% for or against, I just want him to fill in his areas of ignorance, and one of them is the real menace posed by the so-called Federal Reserve, which is mostly foreign-owned, and Ed Griffin has been on our show before on the Sunday show explaining how it works. They just issue money out of nothing and then charge interest on it, lend it to the government and to banks, and require it be paid back with interest. Well, if you could do that with your company, and the money cost you nothing, and you could get paid interest on it, or take over whoever it was that didn't pay you back, how much profit would you make? I think would be unlimited, and I don't think the president has full understanding of that at all. It needs to be shut down, which Kennedy was actually trying to do right before he got killed. So as I said, he needed to accept the Russian alliance and absolute need for direct communication with the people. He should be going on like a fireside chat type thing, direct to television, without the news media interfering and without the special reporters from all the networks. He doesn't need them. Just go on TV and explain each week, couple times each week, what's really happening. You know, what kind of pressure he's under, what kind of insubordination was happening. That could turn everything around, and it could make it impossible or very difficult for the mainstream media to be lying about everything, which they're doing 24 hours a day now. And another thing is, if he would focus on the need to stop the censorship, I don't understand the mechanism of why he's not doing that right now, because he did put out over Twitter several times the importance of stopping censorship. It's not just important. That will control the elections starting in 2020. And if he doesn't do anything with that, he's just letting them take over. And it's beyond my understanding of how he could do that. Of course, he doesn't understand geoengineering. I haven't seen any presidents that made any comments about indicating that they understood it at all. And it's one of the most critical things going on the planet. Not only is geoengineering disrupting the weather so that it makes it look like there really is man-made climate change, because there is. It creates it, and it gives more fuel to crazy ideas like the Green New Deal. And there's a number of reasons that it's totally crazy. But even though I'm a strong environmentalist, and I have been since the 60s, early 60s, the so-called environmental movement right now has gone completely insane and become a tool of destruction. All the organic groups that I've really supported that are backing the Green New Deal now are doing a really bad thing. And they're just too lazy to be willing to even look at why it's not good. This is really superficial thinking. The president could expose this in a second. There are serious environmental things that need to be addressed right away, like the geoengineered abnormal weather and climate should be stopped immediately, and that's something that the president could stop overnight. Just give the geoengineering high-altitude aerosol-spraying aircraft some military escorts to land, come down to the ground, arrest the pilots, find out who they're working for, and stop geoengineering overnight. But I don't think the president has clear understanding of the Constitution, because one of his duties, as is on the border, is, you know, he can't let an air raid go on every day over the country, which is what geoengineering amounts to. It has to be dealt with by him. It's one of his responsibilities. The other thing is, as I think he understands to some degree, regime change in other countries, deciding what countries' governments are acceptable and which ones aren't, is not allowed for the U.S. president to do that. Right now, regime change in Venezuela looks likely. And John Bolton, a neocon war hawk, is down there overseeing it, which is a bad sign. And there's a legitimate complaint that the Venezuela situation is really bad, but it's not our country. And the way the Constitution was written, the president can't just go deciding what countries' governments need to be changed, even if he's right. In the case of Venezuela, Juan Guaido was president of what they call the National Assembly, and they have in the Venezuelan Constitution, there's a part called Article 233, which says that the position that Juan Guaido was in, president of the National Assembly, is the one that steps in if there's no legitimate president in office for the country, which is the case right now. So that's all true, but it's not in U.S. jurisdiction. It's not legal without declaring war against that country, which there's no basis for the U.S. to intercede. And this is not just a problem of war hawks on the Democratic side, although they've become extremely allied with that now since Hillary was saying that they need to blow up Russian aircraft over Syria, where the U.S. had no business being. Marco Rubio, who's a Republican, was threatening to kill the illegal president of Venezuela, like Gaddafi was killed illegally by people under Obama. And John Bolton, who's a major war hawk, is down there overseeing events in Venezuela, which is not a good sign. And the basic intent and ability to make peace in negotiation is really excellent on the part of the president. It just needs to be enforced in places like the Middle East, where the U.S. should not have a presence. North Korea has been an example of his negotiation ability. There were missiles being shot frequently from North Korea over Japan and toward Guam. And after a negotiation session between the U.S. president and Kim Jong-un, that stopped. And some of the nuclear facilities in North Korea were were dismantled, but the next step has to be happening now. And they just had a stage two meeting in Vietnam, and the U.S. president left early because Kim Jong-un was demanding the lifting of all sanctions against North Korea without North Korea doing anything. And that wasn't going to happen. So I think the president correctly left, and that was the right thing to do. And so, but his ability to negotiate win-win peace deals is incredible, and it needs to be really used to greater advantage all over the world, especially with Russia. So as we said on the socialist front with AOC's Green New Deal, they're now enlisting young kids in what's called the Sunrise Movement in cooperation with Organic Consumers Association, who I have supported that group for many years. But they're enlisting young kids saying the world will end in 12 years if we don't fix climate change. In other words, we have to have the Green New Deal and retrofit every building in America to be energy efficient and pay carbon taxes and pay 70% income taxes for the evil rich people who are not the really rich people. Those guys are not going to pay any taxes anyway. They work through other types of structures. But anybody who's still successful at all in business in the U.S. would be considered evil rich people under that approach. And they would all be paying taxes on the order of 60, 70, 80%. That's part of her Green New Deal. And she said that's necessary to fix climate change. But as I said, climate change has to be first of all, addressed by stopping geoengineering immediately. Nobody's talking, you know, in the political arena that I know of is talking about that, in major candidates anyway. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is either consciously evil, wanting to destroy the country along with what was happening to it before she got elected into the Congress. Apparently she wants to continue the destruction of the country with open borders and ridiculous energy policies, you know, and not mentioning the real concerns about climate change and things like that, which is primarily geoengineering. But even the use of the dirty energy sources like petroleum and the really suicidal ones like nuclear power, She's correct that those are not sane sources of energy technology to use, but she's not addressing the problems with that, which is that the alternative clean and free energy sources for technology to generate electricity have been available for at least 100 years. And a lot of the work with Dr. Stephen Greer has confirmed that, and it's all being suppressed by government and by the deep state layers of government high above elected officials. As long as that goes on, and the real energy policy is to kill people that come out with the true sources of clean energy, it's not going to get better. And to expose that doesn't require, you know, $70 trillion in additional debt or anything that would completely wipe out the country. It just requires honesty, and either AOC is being dishonest intentionally, or she's just really out of touch with what's going on and is just following the orders of the people high above her in the real power structure. And I think it's really important to transition to clean energy sources, but not solar and wind. Their source is far, far more advanced than those. Those still depend on toxic battery technology anyway. So, you know, the AOC deal is completely poison. Would result in complete economic devastation, tens of trillions of dollars of new debt, and the economy is already bankrupt thanks to the Federal Reserve, which just runs the whole thing on debt. And that was a criminal deal that was struck in 1913, close to Christmas Eve, by the U.S. Congress, giving over control of the economy to a foreign-owned private organization called the Federal Reserve. So not only would the Green New Deal not address that, it would result in a far bigger and more intrusive government control over everybody's lives that Alexandria has admitted that would be the case. But it would do other things too, and I wish that organizations like Organic Consumers Association would really look at this. They're not willing to talk about it so far that I know. But the Green New Deal would bring in a deadly system of so-called health care called single payer, and it would give the government complete control over what is health care, including defining the whole thing. And they would be forcing vaccinations that are killing already a lot of kids, then you're not supposed to know about that at all. The censorship deal is really working on cracking down on information about that. But it would just hand control of toxic health care over to the government agencies and their partner private corporations like the vaccine makers and the drug makers. Absolute deadly. The fact that anybody would support that in the organic movement is unbelievable, except that the fact that they have so much tunnel vision. They say, oh, it's green, it's great, money for everybody. Like, they would be trying to create prosperity through debt, minimum wage raises until people had enough to live on, which would never work, because you just raise minimum wages in fiat currency outside of the market operation. And what happens is prices of everything go up high enough so that it's still impossible to buy what you need on a minimum wage. And then they talk about guaranteeing a universal basic income. This is really, really dumb, and it's very counterproductive. And it's done by borrowing money and by putting the debt into the hands of the Federal Reserve. And as you probably know, in the private market, if you borrow a million times more money that can never possibly be paid back, you're basically selling yourself to the holder of that debt, which is the Federal Reserve, and to a great extent in the U.S., the Chinese government as well. Very bad idea. Minimum wage is never going to make people prosperous, and neither is universal basic income. Instead, it would just devalue the money and hand ownership of the country even more into the hands of the Federal Reserve. And if you want to understand that, read Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. Very good explanation. The Green New Deal, as we said, is not addressing real climate change, which is a serious immediate issue. It's geoengineering. And as far as her 12-year prediction that the world would be over in 12 years, geoengineering could arrange that to be true. And so could a lot of other things. GMO proliferation all over the world could just corrupt the genetic code of life on the planet to such a degree that nothing could survive. That's possible. So is the pesticide proliferation. Roundup is only one example. There are a lot of those like that. Also, the Green New Deal promotes open borders and destroys the oil industry without substituting the real energy sources that I mentioned. And I really think you might be interested in looking at the videos by Dr. Stephen Greer on YouTube. They're still there. And they explain about the real energy situation, the real policy, energy policy of our rulers. The only bright side that I know of, that I can think of with the Green New Deal, is that it might make the Democrats look so ridiculous, unrealistic, and divide them that they might lose in 2020. Although for them to really lose in 2020, the censorship thing has to be addressed. Because if that continues and anything that is against the Democrats and the media is censored, and they're talking about censoring anything about negative about vaccines, anything negative about religious terrorism, which is part connected with your immigration, all of that could become a criminal offense. And even if the Green New Deal looks super ridiculous, if the censorship doesn't get fixed, then the worst people could win the election in 2020, which is what the media is working toward, and social media as well. Most of those people don't support the borders to be intact at all. And if the borders are not fixed soon, then it won't matter what the policies are, because there won't be a country anyway. Something has to be done to stop the censorship, or the country is in danger of disappearing. And I know that more things are coming out. People are trying to do their part. There's a story this week about a Facebook whistleblower who came out and said, yeah, it's true. What Facebook is denying to the public is they're really doing as far as censoring anything positive about what they call conservative or non-progressive or non-socialist or constitutional point of view, anything favoring firearms rights, which are also critical to the survival of a country, so that the government can't go in and just start dragging people out of their houses at night. A lot of those things have to be fixed very quickly, and the media is educating people that if you just disarm all the law-abiding people so they can't defend themselves, there won't be any more gun crime, which is completely stupid and not true. I mean, you look at places where it's just about impossible to get guns, like in Chicago or in most of the country of Mexico, where it's almost totally outlawed. The crime rates go up, not down, and the violent crime, usually they get plenty of guns. The outlaws have guns no matter what. But even if they can't get guns, like this is happening in London right now, they're using knives and running over people with trucks and things like that. It doesn't stop them if they have to make a different choice of weapon. And the Green New Deal also doesn't even look at biotech, doesn't look at the emergency of the 5G situation, which is going to make a lot of people's lives impossible. So I think turning around the world situation is going to be left up to the people, not the so-called leaders. And it's going to require dropping the labels. Don't be a progressive, don't be a liberal or conservative or Democrat or Republican, just be interested in whatever's true. And as long as that's the motive, then there's a chance for humanity to survive. And have an intelligent kind of humanitarian approach to the whole thing, freedom-based approach, defending the individual God-given or nature-given rights that the Constitution refers to. You don't believe that the nonsense that the government or the UN or anybody gives rights to people. You're born with all your rights. So even if there's no constitution in your country, you have all the same rights as anybody who does have a good constitution. It doesn't matter. And I think if we want to see intelligence in the leaders at all, it's going to require becoming conscious ourselves, doing it on our own. And that would spread, you know, the 5G and the cell towers and all that, they're not the only form of radiation and frequency. What we're never supposed to find out is that humans generate a positive frequency that is actually healing, and it's what's keeping us alive moment to moment in the world. And if that gets strong by coherent focus and thought patterns and a change in consciousness in general, that can become strong enough to affect the whole world. We're not supposed to learn about that, but I recommend that we do, because I don't see any other way to really heal the situation right now. So we're just about out of time, but I wanted to remind you that tomorrow night on the Sunday show, we have an incredible guest, Paul Preston, of the New California Movement, that is the first viable idea that I've seen to actually save the state of California and reverse the horrors that are going on there right now. Remember, so I hope you can join us for that. That's going to be an incredible show. And remember, the Lost Arts Radio website, the videos that we're posting that are still not banned on the major video platforms like YouTube and others. But if they do get banned, if or when they do get banned, remember to see us on Brighteon.com and LostArtsRadio.com. And if you're interested in the health and consciousness project that we're doing to actually get this turnaround started, check out PlanetaryHealingClub.com, and it would be fun to see you there. We're doing some work that we can't talk about in detail on the public media, but it's there every week, and then there's homework to do. It's a participant project, And if you're ready to seriously start working on yourself and having a better life experience all around, then you might want to check that out, planetaryhealingclub.com. And in the meantime, hope you have a good rest of the weekend or whenever you're happening to watch the archives of this show. Hope everything's going good for you. I appreciate the time you shared with us, and I'll look forward to seeing you again next time. Have a good week.